Let me ask you a question. This is how we're going to start. What does love look like? Give me a word or a sentence or something. What does love look like?
The cross.
Mercy.
What does love look like?
Jesus.
Okay. Now let's get past just telling Pastor Harvey what he wants to hear. What does love look like? What does love look like?
Unconditional.
Is there more than one kind of love?
Yeah.
Oh. What kind of loves are there?
Phileos.
Okay. When you say phileo, you're talking about brotherly love, right? Okay. There's brotherly love or family love. Okay. We have that. We love people. We think, a lot of people, I think that's the biggest love there is because they don't know God. Or they don't recognize it as God. And God gives us that kind of love where we love one another. Family. But what about somebody that, let's just talk there for a second, is that okay? And then we'll come back to what does love look like. What about if you had a number of kids and somebody marries one of your children? Do you love them? Boy, it got awful quiet in here.
I think you should, because they are one of your kids now, and your child loves them.
If they marry your child, are they part of your family?
Yes.
So we should at least have family love for them.
Yes.
I've heard a number of you, and through the years, a lot of people talk about how they're family, and no matter what they do, you never give up on them. Anybody getting this?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Does anybody know where we're going?
The
thought that I'm going right now. What about the one that marries your family? Do we give up on them?
No.
Thank you.
Well, we're not supposed to.
Oh, good idea. We're not supposed to. I have somebody in my family married one of my daughters. In my heart, he's forever my son now. But when they had problems after 20 years, and of course it wasn't just after 20 years, but after 20 years, they ended up getting a divorce. And when they tried everything to get us to try to help save the marriage, we tried to help save the marriage before. We weren't part of the marriage. I mean, we were kind of a part of it, but there was two of them. It was this married couple. Okay. We tried to help them when they were together. But people have to want help. But what happens is, when they were starting to break up, instead of wanting help, they just wanted our help to change the other one so that they didn't break up. But they didn't really want help. So they ended up breaking up. Well, as soon as they broke up, and we told the one who had married our child, "You are forever our child now. You are part of our family. We're not ever going to quit loving you. We're not ever going to give up on you. We love you." when they split up, the one who married into our family cut us off. I don't see that as family. Do you understand? I don't see family doing that. There's different levels of love. Is there self-love? Where people love themselves, but there's different ways to love yourself. I'm talking about
selfish love.
There's self-love of accepting yourself, of who God made you to be, who He created you to be, your limitations, your successes without boasting and comparing. There's loving family, okay, which to me, family's family. People come and go, it seems like, in your life. But then family, it's like they're there forever. They're your family. When somebody's on a deathbed, all these people that are your family show up, and you see them, and they're part of your family. And then you have people that are friends that you really like. Birds of a feather flock together in ways that you bond with other people, and they like what you like, or listen to you, or y'all seem to have something in common, and you bond. You say you love this person. They're a friend. It's a friend love. Or what Brother Rick talked about, phileo. The Bible calls it brotherly love. But then there's a godly love that never quits. God, it's called in the Bible agape, or agapeo love. It's a love that this world does not understand. And it's a love that many of us don't understand or believe at times. That's what we wanted to pray this morning. One of the first things, it was like, Lord, I don't want fear, doubt, confusion, or unbelief. I break agreement with all that. Because it didn't come from you. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He that doubteth is damned in his heart. For it's not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. God is not about confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion. So fear, doubt, unbelief, and confusion, they're not God. God, I want to break agreement with that. But what does love look like? This isn't today about entertaining you. This is about helping you with something. And let me tell you why. Something that God's making me acutely aware of. Not that I haven't been aware of it before, but for some reason He's drawing my attention. Because He has me doing this series on what does love look like. And something that He's drawn my attention to is, I'm thinking, but Lord, these are people that have been with us for a long time. These are people that have heard and should know that You love them and that You'll never give up on them. Let me give you some verses about believing for a second, okay? The answer is yes. You might as well say yes, because we're going to do it anyway. I said okay, and nobody said okay.
Yeah.
Oh, right, I know.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Deuteronomy 1:32. Do you feel better now? Okay. Deuteronomy 1:32. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. Yet in this thing, you did not believe the Lord your God. What do you believe love looks like? What do you believe about God's love? You see, this person said we were family for over 20 years. or 20 years, whatever it was, somewhere around that. This person in our life, but what they meant by love and what I meant by love or Sue meant by love was completely different from what he meant by love. And when they were splitting up and they wanted us to try to keep it together, they called us mom and dad. But as soon as the split was certain, they didn't call us mom or dad anymore. They wouldn't even answer the phone or emails or anything. And it's gone on this way for years. We've tried to reach out. We've tried to love. But love was not received. I wonder if God goes through that. God didn't change. God meant what he said. But Deuteronomy 132, yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. 2 Chronicles 20:20. 2 Chronicles 20:20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Isaiah 7:9. God says, when we believe in him, we're going to be established. We're going to be firm. We're going to have a solid foundation. God has had me ask people when I'm witnessing to them. Because people, I don't know if you've noticed, but nowadays, people have all kinds of beliefs. And they are like off the map. And I ask them, where did you get those beliefs? What is the foundation of your beliefs? If people want to believe things in the newspaper, they want to believe their own heart, they want to believe what marijuana tells them, they want to believe what their feelings tell them, their experiences, as if, but see, when somebody gets wounded, that skews, that perverts their understanding and their thinking. But here's the God of all comfort, wanting to bring them back, heal them, love them, comfort them, and bring them back to help them have the right focus again. But what is the foundation? He said, God, and in the verse we just read, he said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established, rooted, built up, supported, firm, faithful, permanent, quiet, certain. Oh my word. I love all those words. Isaiah 7:9. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Now all these verses are, we're going to come back to, what does love look like? Because we're talking about love. If you will not believe, you shall not be established. Something God's been bringing my attention to is, Harvey, when you speak, what do they believe? He said, many times you speak, I don't know how many times I've met somebody new. I come home and tell Sue, I met somebody and they're just like us. And she'll go, why? What did they say? And I'm like racking my brain. See, I was talking the whole time and they were nodding their heads. Does that mean that they believe just like me?
No, they were probably being polite.
Maybe. Maybe they were going like this, and then when they walked away, they went like this. And if you're a preacher or anybody who teaches, you'll be able to relate to what I'm getting ready to say. People doing this out in front of you doesn't mean their life's going to change. Doesn't mean they're doing anything with what you're saying. They're just doing this. Or the blank's there.
That's a tricky one.
Or
yeah.
Blank's there is tricky.
That's why it says over in Jeremiah 1, don't be afraid of their faces. Or when they teach you to preach or public speak, they say, look for a friendly face. Some of them tell you you can look over their head. You don't even look at the people. You look over their head. I can't do that. I'm not talking out there. I'm talking to individuals. I'm looking for somebody who's receptive.
Amen.
There's some faces I don't ever want to look at. I remember I was preaching at a church one time. Down in Indianapolis, I think, somewhere. And the preacher had told me the church was 45 minutes long, the service. And I said, then there's no reason for me to come speak. Because he wasn't going to give it to me until 25 after, or 35, whatever it was. And I said, then don't even have me come. He said, no, I've heard about you. And he said, we're going to give you the whole service, and you do it as long as you want, you do whatever you want. I said, if I have liberty... They got it because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, right?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 3:17. I said, so guys have liberty. I don't put them, I can't carry them in a little 15-minute, you know, suitcase, okay? I don't take a God pill, okay? Now I'm growing in God. So the whole 45, from the time I got up, it wasn't 45 minutes, it was 20 minutes or whatever. There was this woman sitting back, the middle row, and then to the, you know, just off the middle row, because there was one middle row, two sections, you know. And this woman was sitting in the back. And if looks could kill, oh, I'm sure I would have been dead. And she did not like what I was saying. And I was started hearing what I was saying, because I got up with a sermon, and all of a sudden all these words started coming out that wasn't me. And I didn't know any of these people. I had been invited there. I didn't know the pastor. I didn't know any of them. And all these words are coming out of me. And I'm like, why is that woman looking at me like she wants to jump up and kill me? I'm thinking this while these words are coming out of my mouth. I got up to speak, and all of a sudden words are coming out that wasn't aware. Get it? And I started listening to my words because they weren't my words. And if you ever speak for God, you'll know what I'm talking about. And I started hearing these words, and I thought, oh my word, I hope my lips are asbestos, because those are fiery words. And at 43 minutes after, I looked at my clock, my watch. Must have had a watch then. She pushed her husband or something, and he went and got the car and came back. And at 45 minutes after, 2 minutes later, she stood up, gave me the look like I did not ever want to see. She walked up in the aisle, stomped her feet, made a mad look at me, turned around and walked out. As soon as she was out the door, it was like God came off of me and said, okay, now. And he said, okay, now you can preach your sermon. And afterward, I said, what was that? He said, that woman has been controlling my church. And I had some things I wanted to say to her, and you would let me say it. He said, and she didn't like it. I said, that was obvious. You know? What does love look like? Isaiah 7:9. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Notice what he's talking about there. He's talking about authority. He said, the head of Ephraim is this. And the head of Samaria is this person. And he says, if ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. God, we've talked about this before, establishes authority. And then he puts us under authority where he wants us to be. You didn't get to choose who your mom and dad were. And when you go to work, you may not like your boss. But God puts people in our lives to build us. The harder ones help develop the character of Christ in us. Now we could develop the character of Satan, and we could backbite and gossip about them and complain about them and resist them and rebel. And you just keep developing the character of Satan, if that's what you want. Or we can recognize that and say, no, I realize I'm put here on purpose. And when I learn what I need to, and when God has grown me, he'll move me. That's what God does. And if we don't, he'll let us stay there for 40 years until, you know, and walk around the mountain over and over until we get it. Or we can die there. Sorry, these are all just side notes I'm just thrown in. Okay. Matthew 9:28. We're talking about believing. What do you believe? Or will you believe? And when he, Jesus, was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? There's people that we've gone to pray for before, and they don't believe God could do it, and nothing happens. And I'm like, Lord, and he's like, they don't believe. One time we went to pray for somebody who had just died, and there was a group of us, and we came to a consensus that they didn't want to come back. It didn't matter that we believed they could rise from the dead. They didn't want to come back. And God had to tell us that. Because we're going, God, I know you could raise this one. And we would like him to come back. And he's like, they don't want to come back. Quit praying. Because everybody gets a free will. He gives us a choice. And he says here to these blind men, believe ye that I'm able to do this? What will you believe? What do you believe? We're talking about, what does love look like? What love do we want to, by the way, what love do we want to operate in? Do we just want to have selfish love? Do we just want to live in brotherly love? Friendly love? Or would we like to enter into and receive and then enter into and begin to let the love of God live through us. Matthew 21:32. And the next one's Mark 11:31. Matthew 21:32. For John came unto you For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. And in another place he says, the harlots and the publicans enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he said, you spiritual people, don't. You're not going to enter in because you didn't believe. Mark 11:31. They were talking about John the Baptist to Jesus, and the religious leaders reasoned with themselves, saying, he said, John, was he just of men or was he from heaven? Was he sent from heaven? And they, reasoning with themselves, said, if we shall say from heaven, he will say then, why then did ye not believe him? I'm not saying this for me. If I die tomorrow or today, I'm saying this for you for the rest of your life. If God puts somebody in your life and they're a man or woman of God and they're put in your life, then you need to be careful to heed what they say. We always need to obey authority, but that person of God is put in your life as an authority.
Amen.
You need to respect them. You need to realize they are God-positioned in your life personally. It's not a coincidence. It didn't just happen. God did it. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. A man's heart deviseth his way. I'm going to go over here. But the verse ends by saying, but God directeth his steps. You may try to run, Jonah, but he's got something prepared for you in the way you're going. When you pray for somebody, the Holy Spirit, if you're believing, the Holy Spirit pursues that person. That doesn't mean that he's going to make them do it, but he's going to move on their heart. He's going to take that truth and deal in them. And after I pray, I like to say something in the way of, God, you know what they need, and God, I'm asking you to work behind the scenes and do what only you can do. Because my prayer is so limited, my understanding and perception is so little. But God takes this little child's prayer, talking about me, takes this little child's prayer, and he says, oh, isn't that cute? He said, but he believes me. He says, I'm going to answer what he meant, even if he didn't know how to say it. But I want you to know, when you pray for your mate, your kids, your grandkids, people that are around you, every time you pray, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ goes and deals with them.
Amen.
I don't know, it's just a side note, it's not in my notes, but it just came to me again, as it did yesterday. Because I witnessed to somebody yesterday. And I told the guy what I was going to pray for him, which was for God to get him, to bring him to the end of himself at the foot of the cross. He said, you know, I don't like going to my parents' church. I said, why is that? He said, because the presence of God is there. Well, some people don't like it when they're resisting.
Right.
Remember? Would you be willing to consider you might not be saved? I don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear stuff. So I told him, I said, I'm going to pray that God gets all over you like wild rice. I'm going to pray that God brings you to the end of yourself in your own ways, and you being in the driver's seat. And then you're going to be at the foot of the cross looking up at Jesus, where all you see is Jesus. Because when I asked him about that, he said, I don't really need Jesus right now.
What?
He believes everything. He's been taught. But he's like, I don't really want him so much right now. He's out in that, sowing those oats. He's out and stretching his wings. He's out in that place. And I said, but you see, those parents are praying for him. And therefore, God put me in his life yesterday. Because I wasn't going to go where I went. I was going to go there on Monday or Tuesday. But God, I kept it on my mind, and then finally it was just like pushed me to go. And I'm like, okay, gotta go. So I go, and the person was, everything, it was just open time. And I spoke to this person. And then I prayed, God, every time this young man breathes, I want you to take it as a personal invitation, Holy Spirit, to deal in his heart, to bring him into oneness with Jesus, whatever that takes. Make him so uncomfortable with what he's holding on to in his head, in his heart, or in his hands that's not of you. Because the guy, he knows. I believe he's called to preach. He knows he's a leader. He's ashamed because he knows he's leading people in the wrong way. He doesn't have any peace. I just ask God to make his lack of peace more unrestful. Turn it up. I said, I'm going to pray fire on you. And he said, please do. He knows. But he's not. Do you know when someone's born of the Spirit? That means the Spirit, God did the work. We don't lead them to the Lord. We are working with the Holy Surgeon General, the Holy Spirit, and you're talking to them, Glenn, too. And while you're talking to them, God moved on you because you're selfish like everybody else. You don't. If it wasn't God, you wouldn't be talking to this person about Jesus. You'd be worrying about yourself. Me too. So first it's God that moves on you. And then God opens up the opportunity. And then God, you try to lead them in a prayer or something, they don't get saved. But they prayed. They can pray all day. It's not a prayer that died for them on the cross. It's not a prayer that saves them. It's Jesus that saves them. Do you have Jesus? Not did you pray some words. So when I was witnessing to somebody recently and they weren't saved, I'm dealing with them and there's steps, there's things they need to understand to get saved. And the Holy Spirit, when I got to a certain place, he said, now stop, because the next thing would be for you to lead them in a prayer. They're not ready. He said, I'm dealing with them. He said, you did and said everything I wanted to say today. Now stop and let me deal with them. Back off, Harv. He said, you don't need any more notches in your belt. This isn't a kingdom of pride we want to live in. How many of you led to the Lord? He said, all your job is to hang out with me, God says. And then wherever I go, I'm going to direct your attention to somebody. And when you think I ought to say something, give them a hug, buy them something, buy them lunch, just do that. But don't try to have an agenda to try to get them to do something except just to get them to Jesus. That's all you need to do. Be faithful to Jesus. What is Jesus leading you to do? Go as far, because the Holy Spirit has got to do that work. There are so many people that I've met around America that have prayed prayers, joined churches, done works in the church, and they think they're going to heaven. There's a man on my doorstep yesterday. He's got a whole family of preachers and Christians, and this guy is. But he's not saved. And when I said, if he had died right now and stood before God, and he said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And he goes, wow, that's a good question. I never thought of that before. Thank you, Lord. I like rabbit trails, even if other people don't. I like them. Jesus is saying, Mark 11:31, one of the things he's teaching us here, if God brings somebody that's a God person into your life and has them say something to you, and guess what? They don't have to be a God person for God to speak through them. He spoke through a donkey one time, didn't he? He may speak to you through your cat. And I don't mean your cat talks, you know. You got a cat scan and now you're healed. I don't mean anything like that. I'm talking about you may kick your cat, for example, and God, the Holy Spirit, deals in you and says, look at what's inside of you. that you would even treat a helpless little animal this way, to deal with you about where you're at. Because God cares about that little cat, but He cares about you more, and He'll allow things that bring little animals and people and things. God can speak to us through kids. Have you not heard God through Jackson before? Or Sahara? Or Tempe? For crying out loud. Or Kaylee? Have you not heard God through them? Has God not spoke to you through them? They don't have to have initials before or after their name for us to listen. Jesus is saying in Mark 11:31, if you had a messenger sent to you from heaven, then why did you not believe him? What are you going to believe? John chapter 5, 46 and 47. For had you believed Moses, Jesus said, you would have believed me. Now, do you know how far apart Moses and Jesus lived? Do you have any idea? Something like 1,400 years or something. So what did he mean? If you didn't listen to Moses, you wouldn't listen to me. What's he talking about? What?
The Pharisees, they all dedicated themselves to Moses' teachings. And they've set him up almost as a god.
So what he's saying is, if you didn't believe what God had Moses write down, if you don't believe the Bible, he said, then you won't believe me. What you're saying, basically. He said, if you had believed Moses, the Word of God, written through Moses, but, you know, God moved on Moses to write it, then you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? One of the things that I've tried to do since I've known you is to get the Word of God into you, or get you into the Word of God, or both. And the reason is because I want you to put your faith in the Word of God. And if you read the Word, when we read the Word and we meditate on it and we think about what it's saying, it will produce faith in us. What are we going to believe? Hebrews 4:2. We'll stop with that. Okay, thank you. Hebrews 4:2. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hebrews 4:2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. What do we believe? I want you to turn over to John in chapter 14. And we'll start with verse 1. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. This week I want you to read John chapter 14. And if you read it once a day, that'd be fine. If you read it once through the week, that's fine. Whatever, it's your choice. But I want to just share some things with you right now. What does love look like? We talked about, that's what we're talking about. What does love look like? What is it you believe about God's love? See, what does love look like? If you wrote down, you might want to do that as homework for yourself. Write down, what does love look like? And then after you get through reading your list, ask yourself, is this brotherly love? Is this family love? Is this selfish love? Or is this God's love, God's kind of love? What does love look like? Brotherly, family, selfish, or God's? What does love look like? What do you think? Maybe that's a good place to start. Your perception or conception of what love looks like. In verse 2 of John 14, Jesus said, I'm just going to give you some phrases in this. Jesus, I want you to get an idea of Jesus and his whole point of what he's talking about in John chapter 14. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, verse 2. Verse 3, why? That where I am, there ye may be also. He says, I'm doing work. I'm doing it for you. I've got a place for you. I'm making a place for you. And he says, the whole reason is that where I am, there you can be. Now, everybody, like the man yesterday, he's not really wanting Jesus right now. And everybody gets a free will. But all these things we're learning and talking about the love of God and everything else we talk about, we've told you many times, this is a training center to train you how to minister to other people. All of you are at different levels. My wife doesn't like me using the word levels. I don't know a better description. Everybody's at a different level. Everybody gets to make choices of what they're going to do with God. Some people give God absolute sway. Somebody that is in my life not long ago said, well, I give God about 80% control. I don't want to give him any more than that. That's about my comfort level. There's some things I don't want him to control. I don't want to give him my life. God will deal with us whatever we give him. I mean, there's people that go to hell and God dealt with them their whole life because they kept God. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Both the hitmen that I led the Lord didn't want to hear it. Wanted to kill me. Like John the Baptist wanted to cut my head off because he didn't want to hear the word of God because it made him uncomfortable. Now, I'm not looking for hands, but have I ever made you uncomfortable? Asking you questions, saying things to you? You don't all need to start nodding your head because I already know. Yes, you have. Yes, I have. Those of you that are honest. Okay. All right. Enough response. Okay. My point is, the truth, people say the truth hurts. It only hurts because we're at odds with it.
Amen.
The only reason it hurts is because God gives us a free will. And we get to choose what we're going to believe and what we're going to do and what we're going to live. And if our whole focus is about me, my comfort zone, what I think is right or wrong, self-righteousness, what I feel, what I want, then we've set ourselves up as God in that area. God even gave us that little g God and said we could, he said, ye are gods. You'll find that over in John chapter, actually in this chapter 14, verse 30. He says, ye are gods. I think it's chapter 14. See, I know where it is. If it's not chapter 14, what is it? It's verse 30 in John. I'll have to think about that. Ah, don't do that. I didn't mean to send you off doing that. It's the place where he says, you're in my hand, and you can never,
Round verse 30.
Thank you. But let's look at some phrases about God loving us. in his thoughts toward us. I remember years ago, shared a passage with Brother Steve, Psalm 139:17-18. God's thoughts toward us are more than the sand of the sea. And for probably over 20 years, I've heard Brother Steve every now and then reference that because he got a hold of that. God thinks about me all the time. I believe it's over in Psalm 115 verse 12 where it says, He is mindful of us. Mindful of us. Mindful of us. It really doesn't matter the quantity if you're not getting the quality. Some people will read 10 chapters a day, but they're not even thinking about it. And then other people will read one verse, but that one verse captures them, and they can't quit thinking about it. It's best if you do both. It's best if you read, I think your goal ought to be at least 3 chapters a day, like 3 meals a day. And then, but write down the verses that stick out to you and carry them around on 3x5 cards so you can meditate on them during the day. Because those were hot, fresh manna served by our Lord Jesus to you personally. That's why the word jumps, dances on the page, whatever you want to call it. But let's look at just a few phrases. Verse 2. Jesus says, I care so much for you, Judy, that I go to prepare a place for you. You're worried about the place you are right now, but I'm preparing a place for you. Because I care about you. And verse 3, I'm doing it so that you can be with me. I want you to be with me forever. With me. Not just in heaven. With me. Verse 4, he says, in the way you know. Verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way. He also says he's the truth and the life. Verse 6. And he says, no man comes unto the Father God, but by me. He said, I am the only way to the Father. He's not a way. He's the way. He's Yahweh. Verse 7. He said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. You know, I met Jesus in 76. Y'all may have heard the story from him. And I met the Holy Spirit in 83. But I did not get to meet God as Father until 95. I didn't even know that I could get to know him. I didn't understand. I was so busy trying to be religious and do all these things that I was so busy about doing for God and all this stuff, learning and trying to serve him. You know, my wife, she likes me to bring home a paycheck because I can prove that by when I don't bring one home. What she acts like, okay, or the words she says to me, or the looks I get, you know, or the questions I get. So she likes me to work. But you know what? I think she likes me more than what I do for her. I think she wants to be with me more than what she wants me doing for her. I appreciate, a couple days ago, I thought I was going to run out of underclothes and then my wife, I opened the drawer, and it's Christmas! It's packed full. It's Christmas! I'm thankful. This morning, she cooks me eggs. I'm thankful! Again. I love what she does for me. She cleans my clothes. She picks up after me. She's real kind all the time. She's loving. There's just all
Okay.
But you know what? I love being with her. Yesterday, I got to spend so much of the day with her. Not as much as I planned the way it went, but I got to spend a whole lot of the day with her. Somebody said to me on Friday at the bank, I'm making a deposit, so do you have plans this weekend? I said, I hope that I don't. Because I get tired of going and doing stuff. I don't need to go and do stuff. If I just get to spend time with my wife, I asked her, you know, we're getting ready to have our 40th anniversary, and I asked her, would you like to go anywhere? Would you like to do anything? Our kids were going to get us this hotel room down in Ohio. It has, in the room, and you have your own pool. In your own room, you have your own pool and a hot tub, and, you know, it's about $400 a night or whatever it was. And Sue said, I don't want it. You know, and our kids were like, well, we were going to get this for you. Instead, they threw us that surprise party over in Frankenmuth. They spent a lot of money for all that, and yet it's not like we got something tangible, but we got what we want, which was the love of our kids, the attention, the feel. I can't even tell you. I can't put a price tag on it.
Right.
They gave us little trinkets. Whatever you call them, I mean, little gifts, I'm sorry, I'm not minimizing them, I'm just saying they gave us stuff, okay, but you know what, we may lose that sometime, but you know what, I will never forget walking around the corner in that hotel or whatever, and all of a sudden them yelling, surprise, I was shocked, I wasn't expecting it, I love surprises. I don't like them on my bills or in my work, but I love surprises. You know? I do. But notice Jesus, he says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. He says in verse 9, have I been so long time with you, Roxanne? Have I been so long time with you, John? Have I been so long time with you, Steve, Rick? And has thou not known me? He says, I've been with you all this time. Do you not know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? I had some Jehovah's Witness come to my door the other day. I opened the door. These two women are standing there. I'm busy. I'm working. But I open the door and I see them. I look at their hands. I knew immediately. I said, you're a Jehovah's Witness, aren't you? They go, yeah. So for the next 25 minutes, I did all the talking. And I talked to them about, did you know Jesus is God in the flesh? And I kept giving them Isaiah 7:14 and 9:6. And I told them stories about another Jehovah's Witness person who used to come to our church here, who was a leader in the Jehovah's Witness movement. And when they read Isaiah 9:6, it captured them. And when they asked the other leaders in the Jehovah's Witness movement, they said, no, don't worry about what it says, just teach what we tell you. He says, but look, we say this is the Word of God, and it says that Jesus is God. He is Jehovah. And they said, don't get caught up in that. Just keep teaching what we tell you. But he couldn't do that. Because he was honest. Not everyone will be honest with the Word of God. But he was honest. And because of that, he ended up coming to know the Lord Jesus. His name is Thornell. And he gave that testimony in my home when I told the story about those two verses that God told me to share with Jehovah's Witnesses. He said, don't talk about anything else, because if they don't believe Jesus is God in the flesh, you can't go any further with them. All you're doing is arguing all their other doctrine. So for 25 minutes or whatever it was, I helped those Jehovah's Witnesses to hear that Jesus is God in the flesh. And they said, well, who did Jesus pray to? And they said, I said, the Father. And they said, right, the Father. And I go, right, the Father. They thought they were winning something, but Jesus said in John 14, they said, no man has seen God. But Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Verse 9, he that has seen me has seen the Father. That word seen or see means to be a spectator of, or to discern, or to experience, or to acknowledge. It's translated, that word see is translated behold, it's translated consider, it's translated to look on, and it's translated to perceive. You understand why I told you that in a couple of verses. Verse 10, Jesus said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Verse 10, the Father that dwelleth in me. Verse 11, I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And then he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray, I will ask the Father for you. And he's going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Is anybody getting any idea of God's love for us as we're reading this? Do you not see that God is for you?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to stop here and go to Romans chapter 8, verse 31. I want you to go there. We'll just sit here for a minute. Romans 8:31. Are you there?
Yes.
If God be
for
us, who can be against us? Is God for you?
Yes.
Is he for you when you are even doing things against yourself to hurt yourself? That you, because you want it no matter what, and you're not listening right now. Is God for you?
Yes.
It doesn't mean he blesses that.
Right.
But he's still for you. What does love look like? Are you ready?
Yes.
God's love. Please, please. God, I want to mix this with faith. I want to believe this. I want to receive this so I'll never be the same. So that when the enemy comes to bring doubts in my life, I can speak the truth, break agreement with a lie, and speak, receive, and then live the truth. God is for you. Your Heavenly Father is for you. He has time for you. Your earthly father may not have had time. Brother Glenn called me the other day, it was toward the end of the day, and he was trying to do something for me, an act of love. But he called me, I had people in front of me and somebody on the other line, and I said, I need to call you back. And then I forgot because I didn't write it down. If I don't write it down, sometimes I forget to call people back, and I go back and scroll through my phone and go, and I look at it, and it was an 11-second phone call, and I realized I didn't talk to this person. And then I call him back. Sometimes I write them down. I try to write them always down, but sometimes they got so much coming at me, I don't. But Glenn knows I love him. But Glenn called me. I just didn't have time for him right then. Guess what? Guess what? Guess what? God always has time for you. Are you aware that when you turn your focus on God, I want to know if you really believe this. He stops everything he's doing because he cares for you. Do you realize when you turn your focus on God, he stops everything he's doing and focuses on you? Now, he is multifunctional, or whatever that word is. I'm not, I'm a one-horse plow, you know. But God can multitask. Is that the word I'm looking for, the phrase? God can multitask. But he stops because he's like, yes, Roxanne, yes, my daughter. Or maybe because you know Roxy or Sheila. Yes, no, Sheila.
Yes.
Yes, Daddy. But you want a daughter. Yes, Judy. But why am I going through this hard thing? Why is everything, why does it seem like he's not answering prayer? And does that mean he is not for you? I'm sorry. If your circumstances are adverse or oppositional to you, does that mean God's not for you?
No.
I can't hear you though.
No.
I'm asking you, what do you believe though? But what do you find yourself believing? Do you find yourself doubting him?
Yes.
Do you find yourself wondering and like, oh, he's not listening and I might as well quit talking because it's not getting past the ceiling and he's not answering me and he doesn't care. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's pumping gas. I mean, I don't know what you think. I know what the devil tells you. Because he's told me the same thing. But the devil is a liar. And you get to choose who you're going to believe. That's why we started off with those verses. I hope you wrote them down. And you go back and you meditate on those verses. And you say, from this point forward, Romans 3:4, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. John 6:44, the devil is the father of lies. All lies start with him. I said 6:44. Now my brain. I think it is 6:44. But anyway, you're going to go there. Huh? Romans 3:4. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. What am I going to believe about the love of God? What am I going to believe about him? See, what is it? 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Psalm 55:22, cast your care upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Now watch. He doesn't just care for you, he deeply cares for you. Isaiah 63:9. In all your afflictions, he's afflicted. Nothing can touch you without touching him first. He knows your pain. But he wants you to come to him for a relationship, an intimate father-son relationship. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. I care. I deeply care. Tell me about it. Have we not all experienced praying and he removes the pain?
Yes.
Have we not all experienced praying and he comforts us? And we have his peace? I was reading in the, I think it's the Voice of the Martyrs or Release International. I get both. And I was reading one of them. And there's an assistant pastor in China that got all these countries, they keep doing trumped up charges that are false and putting them in prison, and they beat them and they question them and they detain them unrighteously, and all, things are happening to our brothers and sisters all over the world. And this particular one, I believe it's in China if I remember, and the wife got to see him when they were taking him from one place to another, and they just had a few seconds together. And I was amazed at what she said. She said, we had no stress. There was no complaining. She said, we just had the perfect peace of God. But what they're going through, I mean, he's at the point of death because of what they've done and deprived him of medical attention. And he's so bad that they, finally when it came to the public attention or whatever, they got shamed into taking him to a doctor. And the doctor's like, I don't know if we can save him, but he needs massive amount of work, whatever. And yet, both of them And he wasn't whining and talking about his rights. And he was obviously not American. But what they had was the peace of God. When we talk about things that are going to happen, see, we are wimps. We are so selfish and so soft. It doesn't mean things aren't going to happen. No, not right now, but afterwards. But what it means is that all this stuff, we need God. When God puts us in a place like where Glenn is working, wherever he's working, he can only do that by the grace of God. And if Glenn tries to do it without God, it's not going to work. He's going to find himself complaining and feeling sorry for himself and talking about his bosses, and because that is our flesh. But God sustains us. God carries us because he deeply cares. We've heard that Jesus died for us so much, I think we kind of, yeah, I've heard that. We take it so lightly. But what does love look like? Somebody said the cross. I love Steve, Father. How much do you love him? I love him this much. Give me everything he deserves. But son, Jesus, if I give you what Steve deserves, it would kill you. I know, Dad. But I love Steve so much, I don't want it to kill him. Don't want him to get what he deserves. So give me what he deserves. And then whenever you think about that, go read the Gospels at the end of what Jesus went through. And stop and slow down and think about what it's saying. He loves us that much. If God be for us, who can be against us? The devil is, but the devil only has suggestions. And we get to choose what we're going to believe, who we're going to believe. What does God's love look like? Joseph's phrases I was giving you there in John 14, it's just giving you an idea of his care for us, moment by moment. His care for us. What do you believe that God's love looks like? Is it temporary? Is it conditional? Is he mean and temperamental? Does he throw fits? I mean, you know, is he like us? I mean, I'm asking. Does he stomp his feet and throw stuff down and say words and then say, oh, I'm sorry? I mean, what does love incarnate look like? Isn't he your God? Don't you want to behold him in truth? Let's meditate on what he looks like. That's why I never thought of this before today. When I was praying, and God said, just read the whole chapter. So I read the whole chapter. Mark all of them with all the colors. Because I'm getting distracted, you know. Little rabbit trails. And then I go back and he's like, just look at the phrases of how I care for you. The phrases that stick out that show I love you. And I just started doing them. And it's like, and he says, I'm going to give you another comforter. He says, I'm here with you for these 3.5 years, but I'm going to leave. But the real me is going to come live inside of you as the precious Holy Spirit of Jesus. And you're going to receive him. Because you're people of truth. He said, but the world as a whole is not going to receive him. They're not going to be able to see him, perceive him, acknowledge him, recognize him. Don't you see God working and you try to bring up people and they don't see it? Can't you see God did this? No, you did it. No, God did it. They can't receive him because they're not people of truth. Their eyes are not open. They don't want to. Read the book of John, chapter 14, this week. What does love? I'm going to add a word. Incarnate in the flesh. You know, manifest it. What does love, what does God look like? What does love look like? I hear people use the word love, and it's definitely not God. But it's the highest love they have, but it's not God. What does love look like from him to us? What does love look like from us to him? What does love look like through us to others? What does love look like toward yourself? Why do you keep beating yourself up? Did he say he'd forgive you? Then why are you beating yourself up? He was already beaten for you. What does love look like? If everything's going to be motivated by love, and God is love, then we need a true concept of the real God. We need to slow down and think about what does love look like. You get what I'm saying? Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did this happen to me?
Yes.
Thank you, love, for expressing yourself toward us. Thank you for allowing us to know you, love, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for caring about us. Thank you for caring about us when we doubt you. When we accuse you, when we blame you, when we resist you, when we disobey you, and you just keep on loving us, that I just can't get over that your love, your love toward us is unconditional and is eternal, and it never gives up on us, even when we give up on ourselves or you. You don't quit loving. Wow. I just want to know you more. Thank you for how I do know you, but I want to know you more because you're the most incredible person I've ever met. I love hanging out with you. I love every time I recognize your life. I love your life. Everything about you. I want to grow to be just like you. Thank you, Jesus. May you do that in each one of us.